Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church, a place to find refreshing faith in Jesus Christ. Visit us in Doncaster, East Melbourne. You're always welcome here.
I feel like it's a bit weird, two people limping on and off the stage. Good morning. This morning I'm reading from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 17. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you for reading that. And it's a pleasure to be with all of you. And thank Megan for inviting me to come and be with you today. And also Lisa Jacob is the one who made the first introduction, that so I could meet Megan and have some time with her. So it's good to be with you. So let's pray and then I'll look further into the Word of God. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your love. You're a good God, Father. We just want to reiterate that you're a good God. Father, just thank you for your Word and pray that you will open our eyes of our heart to understand, listen, Father, and also obey. Father, we ask this today in Jesus' name. Amen. You heard a bit of my story, but I retired from public service. I never did any private psychiatry, public sector psychiatry. I was working for Eastern Health for many years before I retired. And following my retirement in 2020, just before COVID, God's timing, I then have been working on an honorary basis with the Melbourne School of Theology, where we started 5 years ago exactly, we started a center for theology and psychology, integrating theology and psychology. So that's where I do some work and always open for ministry in churches and other groups in this area. So because as you're well aware, there's still a lot of stigma and lack of understanding about mental health in the faith community. Now, many have told me, well, in the West, it's so much better. Certainly it is compared to the Eastern countries and developing countries. We are, you know, the Western nations are much better in the area of awareness and reducing stigma, but it's still there. And I give my own example to show that things may have not changed as much as we think they have. I say, well, just after I retired in 2020, in 2021, I had cancer of my bladder. And I say, well, I can share that with anyone in the faith community, in the church. I've got cancer, please pray for me. But if I was suffering from schizophrenia or bipolar affective disorder or an anxiety disorder, would I be as free to share that with anyone, even in the faith community, to say that that's what's happening? So the question that I often have is, why not? Why not? Why do we make that distinction between a mental illness and a physical illness? And we have still quite a bit of stigma, even though we think there isn't. And so my passion has been since retirement is to try and break that down, bring that down as much as I can. So wherever there are opportunities, I will say a bit more about the Center for Theology and Psychology at the end, and some of the resources that we have. But going to the passage that we just read, from Matthew chapter 13. It's a well-known passage. We all have, I'm sure, read it many a time. But I just wanted to share a few things with you from that. So from Matthew 13, the part that we read, this is the parable of the sower. And then if you go on from verse 17, what we read is that Jesus then explains the parable to his disciples because they wanted to know a bit more. And then in verse 18 onwards, it says, a man hears the message of the kingdom and does not grasp it. The evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. This is like the seed sown by the roadside. The seed sown on stony patches represents the man who hears the message and eagerly accepts it, but it has not taken root in him and does not last long. The moment trouble or persecution arises, through the message, he gives up his faith at once. And the seed sown among the thorns, this is what I want to sort of concentrate a bit on today. The seed that is sown among the thorns represents the man who hears the message, and when the worries of this life and the illusions of wealth choke it to death, so that it produces no crop in his life. There's no fruitfulness because of the worries of this life and the illusions of this life that causes the problem. So the message that I have today is really about what's called thorns and tares. Thorns and tares. I'm looking for my notes. There we are. And I will go on to the next. See, in this chapter, there are a few things about agriculture, a few parables that Jesus mentions about agriculture. The next one is also about agriculture. And he says in verse 24, then he put another parable before them. The kingdom of heaven, he said, is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the crop came up and ripened, the weeds appeared as well. Then the owner's servants came up to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did all these weeds come from? Some blackguard has done this to spite me, he replied. Do you want us then to go and pull them all up? Said the servants. No, he returned. If you pull up the weeds, now you would pull up the wheat with them. Let them both grow together till the harvest, and at harvest time I shall tell the reapers, collect all the weeds first and tie them up in bundles ready to burn, but collect the wheat and store it in my barn. So we see two parables, wheat, about what you call weeds. One is thorns and the other is tares. Now, as we all know, I mean, when we do gardening in this country, I was just sharing in the first service, I just came back from UK after 2.5 weeks visiting my wife's family and some of our good friends. And yesterday I spent most of the afternoon gardening. And what was most of the time spent on? Weeding, isn't it? When we do, we say we are going to do gardening, most of the time is spent in weeding. So the Jesus, when you read these two parables, it looks as though there's a discrepancy between, in one parable, Jesus is saying, the weeds will cause you to be stifled and you won't be fruitful. So what we think Jesus is saying, you need to get the weeds out if you want to be fruitful. But in the second parable, Jesus is saying, leave the weeds alone. I will take care of that. So it looks as though Jesus is giving two contradictory commands or two contradictory teachings to his disciples. But then when we look more closely, there is a difference. One is thorns and the other are tares. So thorns are a special kind of weed, which is very difficult to pull out. We all know when we are weeding how difficult it is. It takes a lot of effort and needs to be done regularly. If we don't do it, if weeding is not done regularly, weeds take over, as we all know from our gardens. And it is amazing, I find, you know, when we have got fruitful flowers or fruitful plants that have been put in our garden, the effort we have to make it to produce the flowers. We have to water them, we have to feed them, we have to look after them, tend them. But weeds, we don't have to do any of that. It seems to just grow. Isn't it amazing? Yeah? And it just, it's amazing how you don't have to care for them, it just grows. But in the second parable, tares are weeds called darrel. And darrel has got similar appearance to wheat. W-H-E-A-T, not weeds, wheat. And it is growing and it is often difficult to make out when it is during the time of growth, whether it is wheat or whether it's darrel. And that's why Jesus in the parable said, no, leave it, because if you pull out the darrel, you might be pulling out the wheat. So let it grow together, and at the end, then I, or God, will, you know, the farmer will take care of it and pull out the weeds and burn it while the wheat is there for us to feed on. So what does it mean? What is it that we can take out from it? What are the lessons from these two parables that we can take today? Thorns in the first parable, which will choke fruitfulness, choke our life, and make us unfruitful, are within us. Things within us. I would call them psychological pressures. Worries about our future, worries about our finance, worried about retirement, worried about our children, if we have got children, about our children's education, about their well-being, worries about our health in this world of ours. We're constantly worrying about world peace, as you can see all the things that are happening in the world around these days, worrying about world peace and how it's going to impact us personally in Australia or the people that we love who might be living in these countries. Worries about climate change and what that's doing. All kinds of worries. Things that we are all aware of and often battle with. Jesus also said something else. Not only worries, but illusions. What are these? Illusions of money. Illusions of materialism. Illusions of positions in our life, which we put so much of energy in. And Jesus is saying that these are the things that cause stress in our lives. Is that true? All these things? Worries, anxieties, illusions that cause stress in our life. That's what causes stress in our life. So stress by itself is not harmful. We all have stress. There's no human being that does not have stress. If we don't have stress, something is abnormal. Yeah? Stress is normal. And stress can be good. For example, I gave the example in the morning service. If we don't have, while we were students, if we did not have stress, would we sit down and study for our exams? It's because we have stress we do that. If we do not have stress in our normal life, to come to, you know, to church or go to work in time, and do we not have stress, we won't be doing it the way that is expected of us. So stress is normal. But if we do not take stress and cope with it in a healthy way and take control of the stress in a healthy way, take control of a stress that it becomes productive and unproductive, then it becomes distress. And if we let distress to go on, it becomes dis-ease. All right, sorry, I should be showing all this. You should have done that. They're doing it. Okay, right, excellent. So stress becomes distress, and distress becomes dis-ease. Now, we use this term very often, disease, don't we? We all know the term disease. But do you know where it has come from? The root word is lack of ease. Lack of ease, that's what disease is. We use it, but we don't think about it. So that's what disease is, lack of ease. So stress, which is normal, we all have it, and it can make us productive and make us live life much better, that little stress that we have. But if we don't control it, if we don't take care of it, it becomes distress. It is when distress happens that is a sign for us that we need to do something about it. And if we don't take care of it, then it becomes disease, anxiety disorders, obsessive compulsive disorders, phobic disorders, and so on and so on, depression, all kinds of disorders that begin to impact on us. And not only mental, but also physical, right? Now, so let me give you the example. When we have stress, there's also what is called anticipatory stress. I don't know how many of you have heard of anticipatory stress. Anticipatory stress, we are not meant to have that, but we often have it, and that causes all kinds of problems for us. Now, to give you an example of what I'm talking about is, you have all heard of the fight and flight response, I'm sure. These days, everybody knows fight and flight. But God has created us in a way that when we are challenged, we produce chemicals in our body, mainly adrenaline and corticosteroids, which help blood to go to our brains and other important areas so that we can function better. So when we are stressed, when we've got a challenge for us, the heart pumps faster so that blood goes more to the brain, to the muscles, so that we can either fight the situation or fly away from that situation. Humans and animals. And also, corticosteroids are produced in our body, which then works on our liver, produces more glucose so that our muscles will have more energy either to fight or flee away from. Animals, like the cat, and human beings all have that, what happens, adrenaline and corticosteroids. But let me give you this example. Think about it. If you have cats, you will realize that. If you have a cat, when it is not facing, have you seen what happens when a cat faces a dog? The back arches, hairs stand on end, pupils dilate, the paws protrude. Why? The cat is either getting ready to fight the dog or to fly away from the dog. Am I right? You have noticed that? But my question is, if the cat is not facing the dog, does it lie on your couch all the time thinking, what am I going to do when the dog comes? Does it ever do that? It doesn't. Only human beings do that. Animals don't do that. We all have got the fight and flight reaction, but only human beings are constantly, what am I going to do about my children's education? What am I going to do when I'm retiring? What am I going to do about buying a house? What am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about that? And what are we doing? Whenever this is happening, we are throwing adrenaline and corticosteroids into our body, creating high blood pressure, strokes, heart attacks, glucose producing more and more, the corticosteroids producing more and more glucose, diabetes. From head to toe, we are being diseased because of this anticipatory stress and our throwing chemicals into our system, which was not meant to be. Animals don't do that. Only human beings do that. And you know what? These days, they are even saying, one of the theories is that Alzheimer's dementia is probably due to constant stress in chemicals affecting the brain. Okay? So that's what we are doing to ourselves, not meant to be. Now, so that is weeds. Yes, we need to take care of it. Tears. Tears are outside agents, mainly people and relationships. Remember what we talked about? And God said, let them grow together, not up to you to pull it out. Many people and relationships test us. It could be a difficult colleague at work when we are working together, somebody who makes our life difficult. Unreasonable boss expecting things from us. It could be colleagues who are bullying us. It could be an irritating neighbor constantly irritating us. It could be even a challenging church member. Does that happen in this church? I'm sure it doesn't. But many churches, you know the number of churches in India which have ended up in court cases and divisions and breakdowns because people can't live together, right? It could be a nagging wife. I'm sure many of the wives here, no one is nagging, right? Or a domineering husband. Does that happen? If you have not, don't have any of this, please talk to me later. I would like to know some secrets for a perfect marriage, right? So it could be any of these. And these are the tares in our life. Okay, these are the bait of Satan. It is, you know, about baiting. If you know fishing, you go out, you put a bait, worm, whatever it is, and you put it out. Only if the fish bites it, is it hooked. If it doesn't, it just lies there. So these things, the tares, what I'm saying, the domineering husband or the nagging wife, etc., they are baits that Satan, the bait of Satan is offense. And when we take the bait, we get offended. As long as it lies there, it's just an offense. But when we bite it, then we become offended. We have the power not to take the bait. And these people and relationships can then strengthen our faith and life. That's what God puts people like that, to test us so that our faith can grow. Our life can become stronger. Let God deal with them. That's what it says in the parable. I will deal with them at the end of time. I will pull them out, burn them if necessary. He is the judge and not us. See the difference between the weeds and the tares? Weeds, it's up to us to take care of. If we don't, we're not going to be fruitful. We're going to become distressed and diseased. But tares, leave it. Now, when we are challenged by people like that, whether it be a nagging wife or a domineering husband or somebody in the church, we can use what is called cognitive distancing. Another term for it is psychological distancing. We have all heard of social distancing. I never heard of it until COVID. Now everybody knows what social, even in the developing country, they all know social distancing. What is cognitive distancing? What is, before responding, here is my wife, giving my example of my wife. She says something to me. I immediately get offended, retaliate and say something else. And then she becomes more angry. And it becomes a vicious cycle. Instead of doing that, cognitive distancing means before responding with anger, followed by destructive words and actions, step back. Step back. Pause. Pause maybe for a minute. And then act. It will prevent so much pain and heartache in our life and relationships if we can do that. Pause before judging. We're constantly doing that, aren't we? Pause before doing that. Pause before assuming what is going on in that person's life. We don't know what's going on in that person's life. Pause before assuming. Pause before accusing somebody. Pause whenever you are about to act harshly, and you will avoid doing and saying things that you will later regret. If you can just take that principle today, pause. I would be happy. Pause. You know, I also said at the end of a service, in the morning service, walking is the best exercise. There are all kinds of exercise for as we get old. Walking is the best. Walk away from arguments that lead to anger. Walk away from thoughts that steal your happiness. The more we learn to walk away from things that destroy our soul, the happier our life will be. Okay. Now, I hope these few thoughts will be of help to you. I was talking about CTP, so I'll just end there by talking about what we do. We do a lot of sort of seminars, webinars, workshops. Actually, 2 months ago, I just did a workshop, which was well received. I was talking to Megan whether it could be done here, a Christian perspective on dementia, which is becoming increasingly a hot topic. How, as Christians and as a church, we respond to that. So I've got a few of these leaflets about the centers. So we have degree programs, training, research, all kinds of things. You can look up the website to see what is going on. In August, we are having 2 webinars by a couple of speakers from UK on the increasingly important and talked about topic called spiritual abuse. Spiritual abuse that are often experienced by many people in the churches and faith communities. So you're welcome to look at it at the website. So I've got some of these for you, if some of you that want it. The other thing is that we have also a directory of Christian mental health practitioners. Very often Christians who have mental health problems say, oh, can I see a Christian? Do you know who a Christian psychologist or a Christian counselor or a Christian psychiatrist? So we've got a directory. I'm happy to pass it on to you for your private use, not for publication, but for private use, we can give it to anyone. And I'm available personally, as that I'm retired now. I don't practice, so I'm not registered, but I'm available to give advice if anybody wants advice as to you're having a problem, what's a step, next step that you can take, what might be a way. Do you need a psychologist? Very often people are confused. Do you know a psychiatrist? Do you need a psychologist? Do you need a counselor? Things like that. I'm happy to do that. I've got a few copies. I don't have many. I brought with you if you're interested. One is a Christian perspective on stress and grief. I write these little booklets for the faith community, not for lay people, not for professionals. And a Christian perspective on mental illness and suicide. So if you want the copies, I don't sell them. It is there. As I said, I don't have many, but if you want first come, first serve basis, you can have those books that I have, the copies that I have. Any other questions you have, please come and see me afterwards, and I'm happy to talk to you or even take your email address and we can keep in touch. Thank you very much, and God bless you.